live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Monday night. The Flames have now dropped three consecutive and a tough one at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas tonight. 5-0 your final score. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Megan Mickelson with us from T-Mobile Arena on the strip as well. And Mick, a tough one. Not a lot to like there from Calgary in the final 40 minutes. A pretty even first. And just the one goal, but the final 40, Flames just kind of on the back foot a little bit too much. And this one gets away on them on this Monday night.
I mentioned it on the broadcast, what I liked about their first period, and just goes to show that's the way they need to play to have success, is they played really well defensively. So that was the biggest change for me in the second and third.
Let's first get our hardest working Flame. Mick, which way are you going on the hardest worker tonight? I've got a pretty good idea, but I'm curious as to which way. See if we're in simpatico tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Connor Zary. I thought that he had just a really solid game, and he's been so impressive for me all season long. He's making plays, playing with a ton of poise, as always, and playing with a lot of pace as well. So really like his game, and he gets the hardest working Flame tonight.
So Connor Zary is your hardest working Flame tonight, and let's go from the Flames dressing room in Las Vegas. From the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Speaking of which, Derek Will standing by with Connor Zary in Vegas right now.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Joined by the hardest working Flame tonight, and tough sledding for you guys here at T-Mobile Arena this evening. Your thoughts on this 5-0 loss to the Golden Knights, Connor?
Yeah, I think it just wasn't good enough overall. I think you look at it at the game, there's moments, and it was kind of like the last couple games. You know, you have times where you put the pressure on, you play with pace, but it's not enough. You got to play a full 60, and that's, I think, we got to get back to the drawing board quick and kind of reset and make sure we're doing that. I think we did that well in the first four games. We knew how we had to play, and we were playing with pace, and we were doing it for a full game, and we kind of let off the gas pedal a little bit here and let teams come at us, and then we show signs of coming at them, but it's just not enough. So I think for us just today, just not quite good enough, and it's back to work tomorrow.
Correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I actually liked your first period tonight. I know you guys were down 1-0 through 20 minutes, but shots were 6-6, and it looked like both teams were defending well. Did you like the first period, and if so, when did the game kind of get away from you?
Yeah, the first period was fine. I think for us, we were playing a tight game, and, you know, we made our try to make a couple corrections in intermission, but when we come out in the second, we were flat, and we just didn't have enough in us, and we lost a little bit of little pace, little rhythm in our game, and that's when they took it at us. But at the end of the day, 20 minutes, you're only down two. There's always a chance, and I think we got to come out a lot harder in the third and make some plays and really bear down and be harder with the puck and harder without the puck and just kind of bear down overall in our whole game. So I think it's just little things like that. You gotta reset and come out for that third.
I know you guys weren't happy with your game tonight, but I thought the Golden Knights really made it tough for you guys, taking away time and space. Is that how it felt down there?
Yeah, I think for sure. They're a good team. They know how to win. And I think, but that, at the end of the day, I think we shoot ourselves in the foot, all right? We know we can play with any team. And it doesn't matter who they are and how good they are, what they've done in the past. I think we know if we stick to our game that we'll be able to be good and beat anyone. I just think we didn't do that for a full 60 minutes tonight.
Well, we got to see the Kadri and the kids line reunited tonight. We'll see if that carries over to Wednesday's game. Last one for you, Connor. Obviously, Wednesday is going to be a big night, not only for your captain, Michael Backlund, but for the Calgary Flames franchise with him playing in his 1,000th NHL game. You've played on his left side for most of the season. Just a quick thought on backs and game number 1,000 coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be super special, obviously, for us. We're going to want to play hard for him. I think that's something that you don't get to see very often and let alone be a part of. And everyone knows how good of a guy Backs is and how much he's done for this organization and and how good of a person he is and how good of a player he is. So it'll be super special to see Baxton in Utah hit that 1,000 and just be around him for that whole day and we'll hopefully go out there and put together a good performance for him.
Well, Connor, thanks for doing this following a tough loss tonight, and best of luck to you and the guys bouncing back with a win on Wednesday.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Connor Zary joining us from the Flames dressing room here at T-Mobile Arena, and now back to Pat in our downtown studio.
From the Flames dressing room for Canyon Plumbing and Heating, thank you, Wilsey. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And Mick, just before we let you go from T-Mobile Arena, just wanted to ask one question. Like, we saw the line start going into the blender in the second period, then full-scale changes across the board to start the third period. Any of those that jumped out at you that you really liked or that you'd be intrigued at going forward as the Flames roll into Utah? Are you more of the mindset that, hey, that's just temporary and back to the way things were for Wednesday night?
Well, there's definitely going to be some changes, and whether that's guys coming out of the lineup, other ones coming in, that obviously will impact, whether it's you look at the changes that Ryan Huska made in this game, if those will stick, or the guys coming in, obviously change that decision and those decisions as well. I really liked and have always liked Kadri with Pospisil and Zary, especially right now when they're struggling to find some offense. They need some urgency, some assertiveness and intensity in their game. And you know that that line is going to bring that without a doubt. But, at the same time, I've really liked Connor Zary with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. So, I to give a really good answer, I'd have to go back and watch the video, which
for
is,
sure.
I'm sure, what the coaches are going to do. But it's definitely going to be interesting, and I'm sure that we'll see in practice tomorrow some line changes. And then on the back end, you wonder if Jake Bean and Tyson Barry will come back into the lineup as well, especially when you're struggling to find offense. Those guys can bring that. So, I would say that line of Kadri, Pospisil, and Zary was my favorite. I thought Sharangovich was good up the middle for that third period. He did well in the faceoff circle. I think he won one or won three and lost one. So he was 75% just four faceoffs, so not a lot to pick from. But that's also an area where the Flames have struggled. So if you can move him to the middle of the ice and win a few more faceoffs, that's a plus too.
Okay, Mick, travel safe. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Thank you, friend.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson signing off from Las Vegas, where the Flames fall 5-0 shutout for the first time this season. Five rip your final score, 1-0 after 20, 2-0 after 40, then 3 from Vegas's fourth line in the third gets us to our 5-0 final score. Hey, it's Flames Talk postgame on a Monday night. Late start, but that doesn't mean that you can't get a hold of us. Give us a call, 403-240-4444. Got a couple of phone lines open right now if you want to chat, or you can text us at 960-960. So give us a call. Get your texts in. We'd love to hear from you on our Flames Talk postgame show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, Steinberg along with you live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. More from the Flames dressing room as we continue, including head coach Ryan Huska here very shortly. The marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota tonight. Well, it was the whole idea of the Flames in a tough matchup. This was a big Pacific Division showdown for the Flames in Las Vegas, a Vegas team that entered the night on top of the Pacific Division and who exit the night on top of the Pacific Division. And let's be honest, over the balance of the game, they were the better team, and they deserved this one. You know, it was generally even in the first period, generally not a whole lot to choose between them. The only difference was that goal from Pietrangelo to make it 1-0. But after 20 minutes of play, as Mark Stone scores the 2-0 goal in the second period, things just got completely away on the Flames, and it wasn't really close in the final 40 minutes of play. Maybe a little bit of pushback once it was 2-0 late in the second, but 3-0 early in the third, and then the Flames just were done by that point. So Not a great night for the Flames, and in a big Pacific Division showdown with an opportunity to hand Vegas their first home loss of the season, Calgary can't get it done. This is the first time this year. You know, I know they've lost the three games in a row, but even against even against Carolina and Saturday against Winnipeg, didn't feel like they were staunchly the second best team on the ice, and for almost two-thirds of this game, almost a full 40 minutes of this game, they were the second-best team on the ice. And that, I think, is we'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska very, very shortly. That, I think, is what's going to frustrate him the most from Vegas. Opportunity to bounce back on Wednesday night in Michael Backlund's 1,000th NHL game when the Flames take on the Utah Hockey Club. But unable to knock off the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. We'll have lots of Michael Backlund content as we move into Tuesday and Wednesday here on Flames Talk. Your Flames Talk postgame is available on our Flames Talk podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. 5-0 final score. Flames fall in Vegas tonight. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Stay with us, head coach Ryan Huska around the corner as we continue along on your Flames Talk postgame show. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Following a Flames 5-0 loss on the road in Vegas, making three consecutive losses for Calgary. And this one's going to hit a little bit different, mainly because they just, for the first time this season, the Flames were very firmly the second best team on the ice for a good chunk of this hockey game. So I think the tone and tenor of the conversation might be a little bit different than the last few games, even though they've lost three in a row. You know, it wasn't quite the same against Carolina. Wasn't quite the same against Winnipeg. This one, yeah, final 40 minutes of play, this thing really wasn't close. And in the end, Vegas comes away with a very deserving 5-0 win. They were the better squad. And so now a little bit more in terms of back to the drawing board for the Flames, especially because for the first time this year, they really juggled up their lines and really threw them in the blender. They started to go in the blender late in the second period, but that felt as much at the time a result of the power plays. And sometimes Ryan Huska and a lot of other coaches will juggle things up a little bit after power plays, or in Calgary's case, penalty kills. But then in the third period, four new lines. First time all year that all four lines have been juggled up. We saw Nazem Kadri reunited with Connor Zeri on the left and Martin Pospisil on the right. Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman stayed together, and Justin Kirkland moved onto the left side. Yegor Sharangovich got moved to the middle between Jonathan Huberdeau on the left and Ryan Lomberg on the right, and that left Kevin Rooney between Andre Kuzmenko and Anthony Mantha. And so, do I think those lines will carry over into Wednesday? Maybe not, but will the whole idea of maybe a fresh look? Well, that I could definitely see a whole lot more, especially after this one this evening. Okay, phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. Your phone calls, your texts in just a second. But first, let's hear from head coach Ryan Huska as he just wrapped up at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Coach, you heard from a couple of veterans who obviously owned that one and weren't happy with the way tonight went. What did you see?
First period, I thought it was a pretty even period. And then, you know, we started the second poorly, and I thought it just carried on from there. We defended way too much in the second period, and then you kind of lose all rhythm to the game from that point on.
Well, Blake talked a little bit about just passes not connecting, just things feeling a little out of sync. How do you work your way back out of a game like that?
I think you remember who you are a little bit sometimes, and just keep your game simple. Like if you're going through stretches where the puck play, like it was tonight for us, wasn't clean or crisp, it's been that way for a few games now where I feel like we're trying maybe a little too hard to and feeling like we have to force plays instead of just sticking with it, like the first period was kind of going, and being prepared to do it for 60 minutes. We haven't stayed with it the last few games for a full 60 minutes.
Is that the common thread these last three games, the all losses? It just hasn't been What is the common thread?
Well, for me, tonight there's a few things that were different. Our puck battles tonight, they came out with the majority of pucks, and that was evident from, for sure, the second, third period on. And I just don't think we've been as crisp with playing to our identity. And I think when guys aren't having success, they try a little bit too much on their own. And I felt like that's the way it kind of went tonight.
Okay. You know, I think Blake said he'd rather get a little skid like this over with early so you can start to wake up and... I know you never want one.
Hey, and the one thing I would say, I think there's been stretches in the prior games where we played well and we could have, with better special teams like we talked about this morning, we could have easily won both of those games. Tonight was a different story. This was probably the first time this year where I thought we were outplayed.
And the shots on goal, pretty indicative of how much you were overplayed?
Yeah, for sure.
Good team, we know that. But you feel like more self-induced than it was on the Vegas side of things?
Well, there was, of course, some of the puck plays and some of the situations that we put ourselves in. And as I mentioned earlier, it was the first period was fine. It's just a matter of staying with it and not deviating from the way you play.
Much chance we'll see some of those lines that you had in the third period again?
Or? We'll see. Like, it wasn't clean at all tonight, so we got to go back to the drawing board, whether that's some of the earlier lines that we had together or if we have to mix them up a little bit more. We'll see.
There is head coach Ryan Huska post-game in Vegas tonight, and kind of similar sentiments as what we just said. First time this year where the Flames were truly outplayed and truly the second best team on the ice, which, you know what? Through nine games, probably not the worst thing, and especially if you can bounce back Wednesday against Utah. Look, you're going to have nights. I don't think this is a work ethic thing. Just they went up against a buzzsaw Vegas team that is now 7-for-7 on home ice. But, you know, the execution, as much as the work's always there, the execution needed to be a whole lot better, and they needed to deal with Vegas's pressuring a whole lot better. And I even felt like team-wise, yep, work ethic there. Individual-wise, for the first time this year, I felt like there were some real passengers, and that's not something you want to see against a team like Vegas either. You know, whether it was Mantha, whether it was Huberdeau, whether it was Kuzmenko, all three of those guys I would put in the passenger category tonight. I thought Kevin Ball had a rough game, even though I never think it's lack of work ethic for Kevin. I just think he had himself a little bit of a rough game. So now it's all about bouncing back. Those three forwards that I mentioned, Mantha, Huberdeau, and Kuzmenko, you're going to need to see much better from going forward and even much better from on Wednesday night. But you can get the sense there's just a little bit more frustration after this loss compared to some of the others. So see what the phone lines have to say. See what the text line has to say. We'll get there shortly. But first, save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dan Vladar got the start in net tonight, and his save of the game comes in period number one.
He leaves it for Sharangovich, who drops it. Miramanov with a shot. He hits his own man in front. And down in a heap is Kadri. Has a hard time getting back to his feet. Looks like he's struggling to put weight on his right leg as the Golden Knights bust in. Eichel shoots. Vladar makes the save and gobbles up the rebound before any Golden Knights can get to it.
And that is one of the 31 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight. That's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. I definitely felt bad for Dan tonight. Thought the way he played probably deserved a little bit better from the group in front of him. So I felt bad for Dan tonight, and you can expect Dustin Wolf to get the start on Wednesday in Utah. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960, starting with Seth. And Seth writes, just quickly refresh, Pat, what else can you say other than yikes? To my eye, the only Flames who weren't subpar tonight were Vladar and Zeri. Huberdeau and Mantha's hot start has gone ice cold. It's discouraging to see Huberdeau's play so erratic after he seemed to have found consistency late last season. What do you think of the power play? It's weird to me. Once they gain the offensive zone and establish possession, they're fine. But my goodness, I've never seen a group worse with break-ins. Thanks for working hard, even after an eyesore of a game like that. No problem, Seth. Always. I would also put Coleman, Backlund, Uyghur as guys that I thought looked pretty decent here tonight. But yeah, as we talked about, more guys that just weren't getting the job done. Power play wise, they only got the one, came in the third period. but didn't really see a ton from it. They have had trouble entering the zone. I do think now that Sharon Govich is back, he kind of turned into last year. It started with Kadri and then shifted as the year went along to Sharon Govich as the primary entry guy. So I wonder now, to Seth's point, if those entries become a little bit better knowing that they have Sharon Govich back. And I thought Sharon Govich looked much better. He'd be another name that I would put on the non-passenger list or the non-poor list tonight. I thought he had a much better game compared to his first game, as you'd expect. It was his first game of the season. But Sharon Govich back, I think, will potentially help with some of those entries. Kyle writes, the Knights are the best in the league at the moment for a reason. Calgary learned what that was tonight. Obviously not a good night, but there were some bright spots. Zeri, where did this guy come from? He might not be getting the puck in the net, but he sure is playing like he is. The hands, if he keeps going, he could easily be the guy you build your next run around. Vladar really didn't have much help tonight. The turnovers, Pat, that had to be the most turnovers I've seen in one game. Everyone was guilty. Down to Vladar. They need to get that under control. That's what killed him tonight. They played tough, big hit, some bright plays, consistency. The effort is there. They just need people to be where they're supposed to be, and this team will click. Let's see how they handle their first losing skid. This from Claude, who says, Pat, it felt like they needed to stem the tide tonight, but obviously couldn't. Fair work ethic at best, and skating seemed okay, but too little to the net and couldn't finish. I guess they out-hit them as one of the few, if any, positives. When they were 5-0, I needed to remind myself it's still early and still need to say, when they were 5-0, I needed to remind myself it's still early and still need to say the same now. To be a stickler, they weren't 5-0. They were 5-0-1. They were 4-0 and then 4-0-1 and 5-0-1. But I get your point. That's me pretending I'm Aaron Vickers going semantics on you. This from Scotty in Victoria. That was rough, Patty. Tough to watch. 16 shots on net just isn't good enough. Excited for Utah on Wednesday. Hopefully they can get back to their previous gameplay. Rick in Lakeview says, good evening, Pat. Well, I say Le Pew on this baby. Moments was the best they could come up with. Vladar better than the score reflects. Ozone ineptitude leads to a confidence deficit with the team in a game like this. Utah game becomes quite important in terms of arresting the mojo drain. Growing concerns. Huberto, Mantha, Kuzmenko, Sharkey settling in nicely. Here's hoping the slide ceases on Wednesday night. You saw the same three guys I did who really struggled tonight, Rick. This from Ash, who says, Pat, I've never seen so many Flame shots missing the net due to hitting other Flames players. Regarding a trade for a centerman, there have been rumors that Conroy submitted a trade request on a player who's unhappy on his current team, doing to be bridged on his current contract. There's speculation that player's Phil Tomasino of the Preds, who also shoots, right? What are your thoughts on his hypothetical fit as a Flame? Look, we don't know who that player is, potentially, but Phil Tomasino. There's a few names that I think could be very interesting when it comes to if the Flames were to acquire another young center. Tomasino in Nashville is one of them. I look at Connor McMichael in Washington. I think he's playing the wing right now. I look at Krebs in Buffalo. I look at Pinto in Ottawa. Those are four names that I'm really interested in when it comes to their fit. I think Tomasino would be a nice fit. None of these guys are solving Calgary's long-term number one center deficit, but I do think any one of those guys could come in and help fill a role in the middle six would be young. A couple of them shoot left. McMichael and Krebs shoot left. Tomasino and Pinto shoot right. So some interesting names there for sure. This from Dylan, who says, hope you're well, buddy. This game's a sign of what's to come. Maybe not this bad, but this in general. Teams are getting their feet and structure under them. The Flames try hard, but this roster just won't do it. And you know what, Dill? That might exactly be what we see. I still think Calgary's work ethic and decent depth can win them some games on some nights. But yeah, I mean, I think part of what we are seeing is maybe just that. And in a lot of ways, it's what a lot of us thought might be the case this year. And we'll see if how that continues. You know, they're going to have a rather ornery Utah group after the Utah Hockey Club had a 4-1 third period lead with less than 5 minutes to go in the third period tonight and let it slip in a 5-4 overtime loss to the San Jose Sharks. So And I'll see what Utah brings to the table on Wednesday night. This says, is it just me only paying attention to the Flames, or do they turn the puck over in the worst possible places in the middle of the ice compared to other teams? Interested on your thoughts about the turnovers that are resulting in the puck being in the back of their net or high-quality scoring chances. Well, tonight, definitely saw that. So we'll see if that continues. But yes, definitely there was a little bit of that tonight for the Flames, which absolutely led to some led to some chances and goals against. This reads, Pat, so Florida's fourth line features a 22-year-old right wing who was drafted in the same year as Coronado, Mackey Samoskevich. So the Cup champs can do it, but in year one of a rebuild, the Flames send theirs down. We'll see how the Matt Coronado situation plays itself out. This from Sarah, Pat, it's all good. We can all take solace in the fact Edmonton also lost tonight, so it's a wash for the Canadian Pacific teams. Well, kind of. The Canucks took a point. Yes, Vancouver did come back, and what looked like might have been a runaway for them. They were down in the third period to Carolina, were able to come back and get it to overtime as Pia Suter tied the game with about 3 minutes to go before Sebastian Aho won it 47 seconds into overtime. Sarah, of course, our favorite Canucks fan. This reads on the text line 960-960. Nathan in Renfrew says, the Flames have been coming out good to start games, but have struggled coming into the second period pretty consistently the last several. Second period seemed really good the first three games, but not since then. How do they fix that? I think it just comes down to, Nathan, it's the whole idea of playing consistent over 60 minutes, and that, I think, would be the big problem. This from Derek and Cochran. Pat, what's your take on the why did they cut Schwint if he's good enough to play on Vegas line of thinking? Well, Hanzek, the big reason why they waived Schwint. Remember, they also waived Pelche. So Hanzek, a big reason for that more than anything else. I know Schwint had a couple of points in this game tonight. I don't think Calgary's fortunes this season, one way or the other, would be overly different if Schwint was or wasn't on the team. And honestly, Schwint would be in the American League with Calgary. Vegas is a little bit more of a top-heavy team than Calgary. I would suggest that Calgary has a little bit more just in terms of NHL depth, slightly more towards the bottom six than Vegas does, although not tonight. I'll definitely be the first to tell you that, as Vegas' fourth line turned this from a closer game to a blowout in the third period. But I think at the very least you could make that argument that Calgary might have or could match Vegas slightly in the back part of their forward lineup. But Vegas obviously has a significant edge when it comes to the top-end talent, whether it be Stone or Eichel or whoever you want to talk about in that regard. But as for Schwint, the Flames felt that with Kirkland, the Flames felt that with Morton and his strong training camp, that if Schwint got claimed by somebody, they could withstand. And honestly, Justin Kirkland and what he's done has maybe proven them right a little bit so far. Nick writes, I thought the D was absolutely atrocious tonight. Zeri had a good game as well as Vladar. Sad about Gus's passing, one of the most popular people in the Calgary hockey community for sure. I would like to say, and we talked a little bit about it, and give a pretty heartfelt tribute on the afternoon edition of Flames Talk on this Monday, but did want to say this Flames Talk post game dedicated to Gus Thorson and dedicated to the Thorson family. We lost Gus over the last few days, former equipment manager of the Calgary Flames, started Breakaway Sports after that at Winsport. As that texter said, an extremely beloved name in the Calgary hockey community. And as I said on Monday afternoon, one of the first human beings when I was on the beat for the first time 15 years ago, who went out of his way when he was still with the Flames to get to know me and kind of make me feel welcome inside the room and at the Dome. And someone I'll never forget is just how kind and friendly Gus was to me as a young punk 25-year-old idiot on the beat. So I'll forever be grateful to Gus for that. He's just an absolutely amazing person. I'll miss seeing him at Winsport, and just all the thoughts and prayers to the Thorson family, because it was a bit of a kick in the gut when you found that out, whether you found out on Sunday night, Monday morning, whatever the case may be. This reads, I don't know about you, but besides the first 5 minutes, they looked like they were a level behind the Knights all game. They couldn't establish position in the O zone, and they weren't really dangerous at all. It felt like the Knights were constantly having high danger chances as well. I'm hoping this team can turn it around. Still hoping for a strong season. Let's get back to winning. The majority of the first period was pretty well played and even, but definitely the final 40 minutes, I didn't feel like this was close. Jordan in Mahogany says, bad night for the Flames. The games they were winning seemed like three or four lines were going, and now it seems like maybe one line is going at best. And this reads, I'm happy they're losing. Here's to hoping the Flames get the first overall pick. Thanks for all your hard work, Pat. Text line remains open, 960-960. Keep them coming on our Flames Talk postgame show on this Monday night. Flames fall 5-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights. Text line remains wide open. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight. 403-240-4444. And we're live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Or if you're listening on podcast, you can get us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. 5-0 final score. Vegas shuts out the Flames. Parsons, you're kicking us off tonight. What's up, Pars?
Holy smokes, it's been a long time since I did that.
Yeah, welcome to the leadoff spot. The Yankees could use you.
Oh, God, yeah. Aaron Judge it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I wish I was more happy tonight, Pat, but I'm not.
Okay.
I'm going to be a little bit of a negative Nancy tonight. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, they did just lose 5-0.
Oh, damn it. See? Here we go. Listen, I got a question. When we were up 4-0 in our series, we massively juggled our lines. Do you know why that was?
Sure. What do you mean? What series?
Well, no. Like, when the Flames were up 4-0. Like,
when?
In the season.
Oh, when they were 4-0.
Yeah.
Did they massively juggle up their lines?
Massively.
They've basically...
Like, it shocked me.
When did they juggle up? I mean, the only time they juggled up their lines was...
After we were 4-0, we were going into our fifth, we were hoping to win our fifth game in a row, but
the game in Seattle.
Yeah. But do you remember, like, we, the practice lines, everything was juggled.
I'm just going back and looking because for the most part,
if you don't mind, yeah,
they've been pretty, and you might be right, by the way, I'm not suggesting that you're wrong. But just my recollection was that, you know, they've been pretty set, at least since they made that one switch and moved Pospisil away from the middle. Now, but they didn't do that until, what game was it? They wanted a little bit more speed. They did that against Carolina on Thursday. They moved Pospisil away from the middle onto the Kadri line, but then moved him right back. So I'm not quite seeing it. Like, they... I'm just looking right now.
Oh, yeah, because, like, right after our fourth win, I remember the practice lines and everything, and with the fifth game, everything was kind of discombobulated.
I'm looking at them right now. Kadri between Kuzmenko and Coronado, Pospisil between Huberdeau and Mantha, Backlund with Zeri and Coleman, Kirkland with Lomberg and Klapka. So
that was the final. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I'm a little confused.
So maybe it was the practice lines that I got.
Though, but those are the practice lines. I'm looking at them right now.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, I apologize. I thought there was something weird about that, but anyways, it could be my mistake.
They did. The only time they've drastically changed them up were the third period tonight. And they made a little bit of a shift for the Carolina game when they put Pospisil back on the wing and moved Kirkland up between Huberdeau and Mantha. But otherwise, and then they moved him back to the way they were for the Winnipeg game and for tonight. And then in the third period tonight, they threw him into a blender.
Okay. Yeah, not a problem. I think so far we've been getting away without working and surprising teams, but you know how that works at the first of the season, you know, like we catch people off guard, people, you know, other teams have reviews, video, they eventually catch on. I didn't expect this to last a long time. We don't have a team, Pat, that can compete with the talent, like, let's say, Las Vegas. At the end of the day, we can work our butts off as much as we want. And they do as well. And I think, I don't know if it's the Flames theory, but to try to emulate kind of like the LA version, like, or Las Vegas of working, but we just don't have the talent. That's, you know.
Right.
And the thing is Vladar, I felt bad for him tonight. I think the first two periods he had like 28 shots. It felt like it was 58 shots. Huberto, I don't know. Pat, I try to love him, and I do, I like as a person, but at this point, I'm wondering if he'd be better as the next Harry the Hound, you know, like
Harvey the Hound.
Harvey the Hound, yeah.
I love Harry the
Hound. He was voted the worst mascot, eh?
Well, I don't agree with that in the slightest.
I don't know. I'm upset with this team because they're trying. I don't know what they're trying to do at this point. Like, what does this team expect? Did they expect to ride the coattails of a few 30-something character guys? You know, like Coleman, Backlund, Huberto.
So I'm a little confused as to where you are here, Parse. Like they get off to a great start at 5-0-1, and
No.
Just hold on. We're lauding them for their hard work. I get that tonight was no good, and I get that they got the doors blown off tonight. But that's the first time all year that's happened, and every team's gonna have a bad night. Like I think what you're saying about, you know, some nights they'll work hard and they just won't have it compared to a better team. I think there was definitely some of that tonight against Vegas. I also think Calgary's execution was all off tonight. But, I mean, nothing has changed in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. They're still in the midst of their 3 to 5 year plan here. And that didn't change with a loss to Winnipeg, that hasn't changed with this loss to Vegas. You know, like I get it. This is a crappy loss. They weren't very good tonight, but that's kind of the first time all year you can come away from a game saying they were clearly the second best team on the ice.
Well, and it was very clear.
Yeah. But every team has one of those nights.
Yeah, I get it. But Pat, can I ask you, because there's talk about getting a center and this and that and the other thing, like what I was kind of hoping for this team is that, you know, they would compete, but we would still get top five like the next couple of years. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but like what do you want them to do to make that happen?
Well, I don't want them going out and signing guys like Anthony Manton. That's, you know, like I liked him the first couple of games, mm-hmm. but now I see Coronado getting sent down. I see the Pelche situation, you know, like I think we should let things happen organically instead of forcing.
I can see that. Like if you want to say that them signing Mantha might be something that ends up, you know, being something that doesn't end up being a hit. Sure, that might very well be the case, Parse. And after his first three games, I have not loved what I've seen from Mantha at all. But at the same time, signings are made. You can't go back on them now.
Yeah,
but
I get
what you're saying in that regard. That I can get on board with.
And not just that, like, you know, when we're talking about, you know, okay, what other young centers are out there that we could potentially go out and get, like, you know, Krebs or Pinto or, like, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm like, no, like.
Okay, Krebs, but here's the thing. First of all, I don't know how you can say Krebs is a bust at his age and his and his experience level. But I guess what I'd say is that that's always been a part of Conroy's plan, Parse. Like, young NHLers has always been a part of his plan to get this team back to being competitive.
I get that.
So if they go, and they obviously have a deficit down the middle. They've got two guys, one's 34, one's about to play his 1,000th game and is 35 in Backlund and Kadri. Then you've got, you know, a Justin Kirkland's been a really nice story. Maybe there's something there. Kevin Rooney is what he is. Pospisil hasn't worked. We don't know if Zeri or Sharon Govich are a center. They definitely have a center ice deficit right now. So if they go out and get a 23, 24-year-old center iceman, like, can't you understand why they'd want to do that, especially knowing that that's always been a part of Conroy's plan and has been communicated as such? It's not like that's something that he's been pretty transparent about that, too.
Well, if it was like a Matthew Patras or a Maverick Bork, I can understand it. But, well, the difference is if you look at the Krebs, he's had a...
Krebs is only my idea of a guy that might be decently inexpensive and somebody who's got some potential. Fits the age range, and that's what I see from Krebs. Not because I think Krebs is going to be a superstar or anything like that, because I don't think any of these guys that are in the conversation are going to be superstars.
Yeah.
And we do have to start wrapping up here, Parse, but that's what I think the aim would be if the Flames were to go and get a center iceman.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just a little frustrated with this whole situation.
I get that, and I think that... I can definitely pick up on that. I would say that I think the score tonight might exasperate that frustration, but let's see where they go after this, Parse. I got to roll, always good to talk to you, pal.
Take care.
Thanks, man. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Following a Flames 5-0 loss against the Vegas Golden Knights here on this Monday night. Next up, Neil. What's going on, Neil?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for taking my call, Pat.
Of course.
So I was listening to what Parsons was saying, and right, Parsons?
Yeah. Yep, Parsons.
Yeah. I don't have such a bleak outlook on it. I think there's, like, especially in an early part of the season, there's growing pains, I think. And you might see somebody come out to, maybe an unrealistic situation, right, where we were all, like, high on our horses, playoffs, which is fine. And then they might be there.
I don't know if we were there, but.
But I think there was people that were, they're maybe a little more optimistic. That's kind of all I'm saying. Right?
Sure, so, but that doesn't mean that, like, what's to say that you have to stop being optimistic?
That's one thing is I kind of see that maybe that's his perspective, that like he was like shown one thing and now he's seeing another. But it's maybe the expectations of the other teams that are changing now towards the Flames, which is now coinciding with better efforts from the opponent.
Yeah, maybe. I also think there's always, I think it was Dylan and Revy who made the point on the text line that, you know, another part of this is that, you know, this is now when other teams are getting their legs under them and getting to their games a little bit more, all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
and that could very well be part of it. And here's the other thing. The last thing that I'd say is that the Flames are, for the first time, going through a really difficult stretch of their season. They're in the midst of a bit of a gauntlet. It started with Carolina, one of the best teams in the league. Then you've got Winnipeg, who is unbeaten, no longer unbeaten, but were when they played them. Vegas at home remains unbeaten at T-Mobile. You've got a good Utah team, then home to play New Jersey and Markstrom, and potentially the McDavid-less Oilers, but still the defending Western Conference champions. Like, this is a pretty tough 6-game stretch, and unfortunately, the Flames have not been able to pick up a win in one of them yet.
Am I a bad guy for liking the last part of your explanation there? Because it's good to hear that. Because I think if the Flames are going to have any chance in making it in the Pacific, it's going to be the Oilers faltering or the Kings faltering or both. And them not having McDavid, I guess, sucks for them, but like it's good for the Flames.
Well, it's good for the whole division.
Yeah,
and we'll see. We don't know, but I mean, it does not. Things don't sound initially.
I'm not trying to sound like I wouldn't wish that on the guy. Like, I'm not the biggest McDavid fan, but it's good for the division. Yeah, exactly. But I actually did want to say something about maybe reorienting the power play unit. I know this might be crazy, but is there a way to sneak Klapka as a net front presence, like a Thomas Holmstrom type guy that could, like, you know, push people out of the way, tip pucks?
It's something that he's done well at the American League level. I don't know if maybe on a number two unit at some point. The problem is Klapka is at this point not even a full-time guy in the lineup, you know, so... you'd have to.
No, I'm saying maybe give him give him a chance.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I mean, game, I, like, again, I can't sit here and say that it's necessarily 100% probable, but I don't hate the idea.
And I got to say that one of the biggest problems is, like, maybe their penalty kill is not the greatest, but the penalties they're taking are actually worse, is one thing I would have to say. But I mean, a growing young team, you might have to expect that. You know, there's going to be mistakes made. But, like, I think some of the penalties they're taking are stuff that Ryan Huska is like, well, come on, guys. We shouldn't be taking penalty, especially against a team, a higher-powered power play. Like, they're savants. Every guy on their top power play is a savant. And they're going to murder you every time.
Right. Yes, they definitely need to work that out, and the penalty kill. I mean, the penalty kill went 2-for-2 tonight, so that's a small positive. But yeah, I mean, the overall, they've taken too many penalties here over the last little bit. That was a big reason why they found themselves losing the last two games. So that's definitely something that they need to work on for sure.
So if I'm Huska, I don't think I'm keeping the lines the same for the next game. So
what are you doing then?
I think a lot of people might feel that way though. So, but I'm not
saying you're wrong. I'm just saying what do you want to see then?
I think the first line might need to be Zeri, Kadri, Pospisil again.
Well, in the way they ended this game could very well be the case.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to start, because I think Sharon Govich might get a chance at center. We'll see.
Which I don't think is the best look for this team personally, but at this point we'll see. You know, they if it's not going to be Pospisil, and it hasn't been as of yet, like that hasn't been the look that they have had a ton of success with. You need to find somebody to be that third center. If Kirkland and or Rooney, I mean, I guess he could keep on trying Kirkland, but how long is Justin Kirkland going to be a everyday center on this team? I don't know if we know.
Or is Rooney a third line center?
I don't think Rooney's a third line center. No.
Right. So you kind of.
And I don't know if Kirkland is either.
Pick one guy, right? So. Yeah.
So whether it's Zeri down the road or whether it is trying Sharon Govich, yeah, I think both are possible. They have yet to try Zeri down the middle, so it could be Sharon Govich and that you know, I did not love Sharon Govich down the middle last year, but you know, let's see what if they decide to do that for a little while this year, let's see how it goes, I guess.
I actually do think that Zeri at center, playing with Backlund and Coleman, right, for a year, a full year.
Okay, but you just said you want them to go Zeri, Pospisil, and
I know, right?
But you're saying,
but
both
also,
then.
No, but I'm also saying that I also see value in the fact that Zeri could play with Coleman and Backlund for a full season.
As do
I. To learn from Backlund, and then the next season they transition to that.
Could very, like, and that I think there's plenty of value in having Zeri with Backlund and Coleman if that's what they decide to do long term.
Sort of situation.
Well, I mean, he's been really good on that line, and honestly, I think that's probably been on balance of all the games they've played tonight, notwithstanding, and even before that, I thought the only line that I thought was really going consistently prior to the changes was that line as well. So I think that line's been good, and I think you're right. There absolutely is value in having having Zeri with Backlund and Coleman for a full season. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so, like, but like honestly, I think Klapka, like, maybe in front of that, try it out.
Fair enough, Neil. Appreciate the call, brother.
Thank you.
Have Be well, man. We'll talk soon. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 5-0 loss in Las Vegas tonight. Flames have now lost 3 in a row. Let's say hello to Anand. What's going on, Anand? Anand?
Good evening, buddy.
There
you
are. Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, bud.
Yeah, not the best of the games tonight, but I just want to maybe say congratulations to Cole Schwind for getting on the 2 assists. That might be maybe possibly a good field story for him, being able to play against his former team. My one question for you again, would you agree with me tonight that especially the Huberto Pospisil Mantha line didn't work as effectively as last game, especially when I texted in from Toronto?
I mean, it wasn't very good last game either, and I mean, it's been a little while here that it has kind of, since the first, I want to say, 3 games of the year, it just haven't seen much from that line at all. So yeah, I would, like, tonight it got broken up because there was nothing happening there, and yeah, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good the night before. Not a lot to love with that line recently.
Yeah, gotcha. Fair enough. And then do you think was this broken up line, do you think it will stay for a couple of games, or do you think they'll go back to trying the same line? Do you think they can?
I honestly don't know what we're going to see from Ryan Huska. We'll see it practice on Tuesday, but you know, I think that we might see a few lines different, but I don't know if it'll be the exact same lines as what we saw to finish the game tonight.
All right. And then one final question, and then I'll let you go. For goaltending-wise, do you think the rotating will continue, or is it too early to say that we have got one steady?
No, I think we're way too early on to be having one guy take the reins, I think, at least in my eyes. I think we'll see Wolf on Wednesday, and probably for the next little bit here, we'll see a little bit of flip-flopping.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense. Once again, I think I like the first period of the Flames tonight. They had a couple of good chances, but then I think their play dropped off in the second and third period, especially when they struggled to get shots on net on the second period. I think they didn't get a shot in until like the 18th minute of the second period, correct?
Yeah, that sounds right. They were basically shut out on the shot clock until the final few minutes of the second period. Yep.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, hopefully that was like maybe temporarily them getting adjusted, and how good of a Vegas team it is. Hopefully we can see something better coming out in the next couple of games. All right, thank you, Pat, for the short phone call. Appreciate it. Have a good night, and talk to you on Wednesday.
Good to have you back, Anand. Have a great night, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Bye.
Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444 on this Monday night. Flames fall 5-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights and make it 3 straight losses. And the record now 5-3-1 through the first 9 games of the year. Jose is with us. What's up, Jose?
Wow. Holy smokes, Pat. I can't believe some of these calls and texts and just people are just flying off the bandwagon like it's World War Z, man. Whoa. Like,
World War Z.
Everybody just pump the brakes a little bit, man. It's 3 games against 3 of the best teams in the NHL right now. Like, I mean, like, Winnipeg was what, like, number 1 in the NHL, like, undefeated, and
not
Carolina's,
anymore, but they were on Saturday.
They were on Saturday, and I mean, that's, you know, Carolina's one of the best teams in the East, and you know, Vegas is a powerhouse right now, like,
especially at home.
I mean, Edmonton is a Stanley Cup favorite, and they just got blown out to one of the worst teams in the league, 6-0 tonight. It's just, you know, every team has a stinker. And tonight was a stinker. It's just, you know, it is what it is. And it's, you know, I don't know. I think it's still way too early to have any kind of, you know, final outlook on what this team is, whether we're a playoff team or whether we're, you know, a top five draft pick team. Like, it's just, it's still too early. And the teams that we're going to measure up against, you know, most accurately is the middle of the pack teams, like the Utah team that we're going to, you know, face on Wednesday. And, you know, there's, I mean, I know the concern. I know Parsons was talking about, you know, this concern about going out and going out for looking for a center. And I think what people are most concerned about is what the asking price is going to be. And I think that's what a lot of people are panicking about. Like, oh, you know, we're going to start giving up first round picks for you know, a 24-year-old. So I don't think that's the case. It's you know, if you got a guy on a team that a team is, you know, marginal about, it might not be a big ask. And if it's a big ask, then you're not going to make that. You're not going to give up assets, you know, to chase a third line center. And if we're talking right now about, you know, we got Backlund and Kadri, and we don't know who our real number three center is, then you obviously have a need for a number three center. But it's as clear as, you know, as the nose on our faces. It's you know, you need a number three center on this team. We don't have it. You know, we're trying Pospisil. There's talk about, you know, Sharangovich going back there. There's talk about, you know, moving Zeri off of that Coleman and back of the line, which I think would be a mistake right now, because I think that kid's going through a massive learning curve and looks great with that line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, there's a need for some center depth on this team. And if the asking price isn't too high, go for it. What do you got to lose? It's hard to get developed NHL players on your roster. And if it's going to cost you a third round pick, you know, or I would say max a third round pick is what you want to give up for something like that. And maybe a young prospect, you know, like maybe a Pelletier or something along those lines, but you need a center. You need a center on this team. And then it's the one thing is, we don't know what this team is yet. It's nine games into the season. You know, talk to me, you know, after, you know, the first 30, 40 games, then we'll know where this team is at. We'll know what this team really, really looks like. It's just, I don't know. I'm just a little frustrated just seeing these just peaks and valleys of emotions of Flames fans. Just, oh my God, this team's so great. Oh my God, this team's so bad. Oh my God, we're,
I mean, not
oh
everybody, God, not everybody, in. Jose. I mean, that's a pretty rash generalization. And I will say that there's plenty of people who are looking at it and saying, I just played a good game. I played a poor game tonight, and that sometimes they're going to lose games against better teams. And that's kind of what we saw here tonight.
You know, there's probably, you know, five teams in the West that are, you know, that are going to be locks, and the rest is kind of up for grabs. And that's where the Flames, I think the Flames fit into that mix of, they could be in that wild card kind of chase. You know, I don't buy into LA, you know, cause they lost Rudowdy and they don't seem to be the same team.
I mean, LA's sitting second in the division right now. So they're still finding ways.
Yeah. You know, it's still early. I mean, Edmonton now they lost McCovid, sorry, McDavid, and it's, you know, that's a big blow for them. It's going to hurt, because that team without their best player is, you know, a shell of itself. So this division really is up for grabs for me. And if the Flames, you know, just keep sticking to their system, they're going to be okay. And it's not the worst thing in the world to be in that wild card chase. I mean, you look at a team like Dallas. Dallas never had to bottom out to be the contender that they are. You know, or, I mean, Nashville's kind of a bad example, because Nashville's off to a terrible start. But, you know, even Nashville is kind of a team that hasn't had to bottom out to, you know, stay competitive So I don't know this incessant.
Well, and look, I mean, Craig, whether you agree or not, I'm not saying you, but I'm just like the general you, whether you agree or not that they're, you know, they should or shouldn't bottom out, whether you think that that is the way they should go about things. Or, I mean, Craig Conroy has been pretty adamant about what they're doing, and he's been very clear that this is not a team that he's going to allow to just, you know, be okay with losing. And so they're going to try to be competitive, but they're also trying to gradually get younger. They had a really, really good draft, and there's a lot of potential coming out of this most recent draft. And look, there's still quick math, 73 games to go this season. They started off nicely, and now they've hit the skids for three games against some really tough opposition. So there's still a ton to be figured out here.
I mean, if they win on Wednesday against Utah, that's 13 out of 20 points. That's more than a better clip than to make the playoffs, because I've always been that believer that you need to get at least 12 out of every 20 points.
And you know, I have no idea in the end, Jose, if they make the playoffs or not. They've done some nice work in the early stages, and now more recently they've kind of had some of that work undone a little bit because of these three consecutive losses, but still a lot of hockey to be played, good or bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of season left, buddy, and I get annoyed with people that jump off the bandwagon so quickly. It's like, you know, just relax, enjoy life, hermano, you know, have a cerveza, be happy. Why all this frustration and anger, and you know, just relax. It's going to be okay.
Me gusta,
hermano. Have a good night, Pat.
Vamos. See you, buddy.
Buenas noches.
Sí. Jose, good to talk to you, brother. Phone lines open. Got a few open right now. 403-240-4444. Following a 5-0 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Text lines open at 960-960 on your Flames Talk postgame show this evening. So if you want to jump in on the phone lines, call now. Keep your text coming as well at 960-960. Back to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas we go. Let's hear from Blake Coleman, his postgame thoughts following a 5-0 loss to the Golden Knights.
Like, maybe just kind of give your assessment of what you saw tonight.
Just a bad game. Just outplayed up and down the sheet, and just never even gave ourselves a chance to win.
First couple of shifts obviously looked like you'd, you know, I think every single line had an opportunity in the early going, and then what shifted?
We just didn't have our foot on the gas. It was just, I don't think it was anything special they did. I think they just out-competed us, and it was just one of those nights where everything seemed like it was a little bit harder. Handling the puck, skating, whatever it was, just didn't come very easy, and you know, they made us pay. They're a good team, and they'll make you do that if you don't show up.
When you have one of those nights, when you know that that's, you know, snowballing, you know, how difficult is it to try to fight back out of that?
Well, it's just an effort, and you know, it's going to be an ugly one. If we were going to stay in that game, you just eat pucks and play simple, and you know, it was lack of execution, turnovers. You know, I'll look at myself first. It was a terrible game for me, and I'll be better.
That's three in a row. Is there any common thread through all three, other than maybe they're all pretty juggernauts right now?
No, I think we can beat anybody if we show up. It's just, you know, I'd say the last three games, in my mind, the biggest differences were kind of reactive instead of proactive, and reading plays and arriving with intent. You know, I think it's been a little bit one step behind, halfway in type of hockey, and we're never going to win that way. It's, you know, it's got to be an all-in mentality with skating and you know, being hard on pucks, and you know, it's just, it's a long season. You're going to have a lot of highs and a lot of lows. Yeah. And this is, you know, I'm actually glad we're getting this early in the year. It's one of those see what you're made of points of the season, and see what kind of guys we got in the room.
That is Blake Coleman post-game. His thoughts following tonight's tough 5-0 setback in Las Vegas. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Call now, 403-240-4444. We'll throw out the last call for phone calls. So if you want to chime in, now's the time to do so. 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming at 960-960 as well. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score from Las Vegas tonight. Flames fall 5-0 to the Golden Knights, making three straight losses for Calgary. They'll try to bounce back and snap this losing skid at 3 Wednesday when they visit the Utah Hockey Club. That'll also be game 1,000 for Michael Backlund. He'll become the second player in franchise history to suit up for 1,000 games with the organization. Welcome back. Last call for phone calls on your Flames Talk post-game show. If you want to get in, now is the absolute last chance to jump in line on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. If not, last call for phone calls, and keep the text coming at 960-960. It's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Our final look inside the Flames locker room now, following a rough loss in Vegas. Let's check in with Flames defenseman Rasmus Anderson.
Like just the outline, top night, but just from your perspective, what went wrong?
Second, third period were brutal.
Well, we're just talking about the first few shifts. It seemed like you guys had it in your, you know, the end. I think everyone had a shift, a rotation through it, and then something, you know, switched.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're a good team, but yeah, that was not acceptable by us. Second and third period was not acceptable, and it's not to our standard. And yeah, it can't look like that. That's for sure.
Is there a common thread with the three losses in a row that's troubling you or concerns you a little bit, or are they all different?
No, I mean, against Carolina, we were battling until the end. Winnipeg, a couple calls late in the game, and tonight, third period, we get pushed out of the game, and that's just not acceptable. I mean, if you look at it, no offense, but they have the best line in hockey right now, right? The first line, and we give them one, and then, as I said, no offense, but their third and fourth line score like 3 goals. Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to beat a team like this, well, you don't give their first line a whole lot. You know, you can't be giving up 3 goals against their third and fourth line, that's for sure.
How difficult are nights like this when, you know, passes aren't, you know, connecting, and it feels like you're in the mud, just try to fight out?
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't have it, you know, you can still battle, and, you know, you can still get the puck in, win the puck back on the forecheck, go to the net. You know, the D-man, we were trying to shoot it a lot. Like, obviously, they play a system where they block a lot, but, you know, there's a lot of pucks that are going to drop in front of them. Win those battles, even if you don't have your hands or feet or whatever. Like the least you can do is battle, and I just felt like we weren't there tonight.
That is Rasmus Anderson post-game. His thoughts following a 5-0 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Okay, let's get back to the text line at 960-960 for the last time before we hit our last few phone calls as well. Rohit says, replace Kevin Rooney with Scorinato and keep Wolf as the number one goalie moving forward. This reads from Glenn, who says the Flames could have easily won 2 of the last 3. If this record were offered before the season started, we'd all have taken it. Keep on gripping in the free world. That comes from Glenn. This reads, Pat, I know Huberto's contract is majority signing bonus, but do you think the Flames would ever bite the bullet and buy him out? Get started on it so the price gets less and less each year. Well, here's the problem with that. There's still 6 years left on it after this, and that would leave 12 years of money on the cap. I don't think at this point buying out a guy like Huberto at this stage is the way to go. Like, at the very least, I think you'd want to wait until the cap's going up, which would I guess make it a little bit easier, and because there is so much signing bonus money in there. I don't know. It makes it hard to, like, you don't get a ton of cap savings at some point, and, you know, it just, I would find it tough to see the Flames buy him out with this much left, even though there's a lot of buyout, a lot of signing bonus money on it. That also makes it harder to buy out because that signing bonus money still applies. I don't know. I think that we're he'd be on the cap until 2038 if they were to buy him out this summer. I don't think they're prepared to do that at this stage. What else we got here on 960? This says, if you take the names off the back of the jerseys, do you think Huberdeau's still playing on this team or even in the NHL with how he's played these past few seasons? Yes, I do. But I do understand the point that, you know, it has been a frustrating last four or five games for him, no doubt about it. And the frustrating part is that Huberdeau has looked more like the guy he has the last two seasons after the nice start. Like, it was a nice start to him. First three, four games, really positive start. Since that time, I don't know, it hasn't been anywhere near as positive and has resembled far too much the frustration from the first 2 years with him as a member of the Flames. This from Chris in Whitehorn, who says, the goalies have been a bright spot on the team so far. Will the coach continue to split the starts between Wolf and Vladar, or will they give more to Wolf to try and get more games under him? Obviously depends who's hot and barring any potential trades with Vladar. For now, I think they're going to just keep on rolling with the alternating, where if it's not the strict alternating every single night, I still think we're going to see a tandem for the time being and you know, probably going to be a little while until we see one guy truly take the reins would be my read on the situation as of right now. And finally, this says, tough one. This team is and will be a work in progress. Bright spot is goaltending so far, and that's a great start. Young kids are getting opportunities to show what they have, unlike years previous when the Flames would rely on free agency to fill gaps. So it was nice to see they didn't go after any big fish this offseason. Beautiful moment in Columbus tonight, watching Monty score two and point to the rafters to celebrate with his buddy, brought on the tears. I miss number 13 as a Flame, but miss him more as a person. God bless you, Johnny and Maddie, and may the ice you will forever skate on never thaw, and all those memories you left us as fans will always make that flaming sea you wore burn even brighter. That's a nice way to wrap it up. I appreciate that sentiment at 960. Great stuff on the text line tonight. Let's get to the phone lines for our final few calls tonight, starting with Mike in a 5-0 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Mike, you're on Flames Talk postgame. What's going on?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to give another perspective on the on what happened in the last game. I didn't get a chance to watch tonight's game because I was actually playing hockey myself. But yeah, I mean, Kadri after the game, he complaining about the roughing and maybe shouldn't have been a call. And I'm going, well, buddy, you know when you hit somebody in the gloves, they're going to call that. You shouldn't be doing that. And I think we have to, you know, hold him accountable for doing that at that time of the game. I mean, and he's known for doing that. And so, I mean, I know you guys have been defending him and saying that, you know what, the ref maybe shouldn't have called that. It may not a call in the third period. Maybe it's a call in the first period. But I'm going, no, it's a call. It's a call. And he knows that, and he should take accountability for that. That's my perspective. I mean, I've been watching him for a long time, and I know he's a very talented, skilled player. He doesn't need to slash a guy twice in the hand at the end of the game when you're tied.
I don't know. I mean, I you know what, man? Like, I hear what you're saying, and I don't, you know, I don't even fully disagree with what you're saying. But at the same time, I still thought it was a borderline call regardless of the time of game, let alone for when it was. So I understand his frustration. I understand a Flames fan's frustration. I personally thought it was a borderline call. I thought he got more stick than he got glove or hands. So, like, I understood the frustration, but at the same time, it happens. It's you know, the calls like that are going to happen throughout an NHL season, and just so happened that this one was timed at a really frustrating time of the game. So I get what you're saying. I don't think it's the most egregious call I've ever seen by any means, but I do think I have no problem with Kadri wearing his heart on the sleeve because that's how he's always been as a player. And I'm never going to criticize a guy for being authentically who they are. And that's exactly what Kadri was being. And so I think he really hated the call at the time. Let his emotions be shown. And yes, it ended up as there was a misconduct in there when it's all said and done. But honestly, man, like I don't come away from that saying that, you know, at worst, that was a borderline call for me is how I saw it. But we can agree to disagree on that.
Well, no, I mean, it could be a borderline call, but it's something that you don't do at that time of the game in that situation. You're tied 3-3. I mean, I was at the game. I was watching. It was a great game. And
I think he took a calculated risk that they had just killed off a 5-on-3 that he didn't get a lot. Like he didn't get a lot of hand. Like you're allowed to slash stick. And I mean, when I saw the replay, I get it that in fast time, it's a very difficult job that an official has. In real time, maybe it did look like it was in on the hands, but when it's all said and done, it was like 90% stick that he hit. So, you know, you're allowed to slash on the stick. And so I that's why I was like, yeah, borderline call, which a frustrating time of the game to make that call. And then it leads to the game winner. Like I understand the frustration. But at the same time, like I get what you're saying. I just don't put a lot of onus on Kadri. Like I don't think it was an undisciplined penalty that he took at that time. I personally think calling it undisciplined is kind of cherry picking, but that's just my opinion.
I don't know if I'd call it undisciplined, but I know that he has a reputation for taking those kind of penalties and at that kind of situation in the game, and not just in Calgary when he was in Toronto, when he was with Colorado.
That reputation's taken a very large turn in near the end of his time in Toronto, and then definitely when he got to Colorado, and since he's been here in Calgary, those types of things haven't been like the maturity in Nazem Kadri's game and the way that he uses his emotion has come a long way. I mean, he's 34 years old now. You know, I when I was 34, I was a whole hell of a lot more mature than I was at 23, right? So, you know, a lot of that stuff I think has come a long way as it does for most humans.
Well, and I'll agree with you. I mean, I thought he last season he was much more disciplined than he has been in the past. And so it was just unfortunate to see him do that in that game, I thought. So that's just my thoughts, and I just wanted to air that. And thank you for listening to me.
Good stuff, man. You have a great night, Mike.
You too.
Thanks, buddy. Let's say hello to Ram on the phone lines. What's going on, Ram?
Hello. Hey, Pat. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's been maybe about 4 years since I called, so it's been a long time, but a long time listener.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. And the last time I called was, I was really upset about number 13's game, and it's really interesting, right, with the events this summer, how it all puts everything in perspective, right? But the crazy thing is it's been two months already, October 29th, and time just marches on. It gets a little bit easier over time, but you still think about him once in a while and whatnot. But rest in peace, Johnny and Matthew. I just wanted to talk about a couple things today. The first is there's a text around like the Johnny Huberto buyout situation, and I kind of felt, you know, it's interesting. The team has so much cap space. I mean, at this point, a buyout isn't really going to get you anything, right? In terms of a need, any room. It's not like you need anything right now, so may as well just play out some years of the contract until you get to a situation where you need the need the room, and maybe you can consider a buyer at that point. That's just kind of my perspective.
That's actually a really good way of putting it too, Ram. Like, I mean, they're not in a situation where they're in dire need of cap space, even with Huberto's $10.5 million cap hit. If they don't need to go down that road, they're in good enough shape, right? Like they've got so much cap space, they almost don't know what to do with it in a lot of ways.
That's kind of my thinking. I mean, it is sunk cost, right? It is what it is. You can't do anything about it. You just have to move on. And, you know, you're probably getting a player that's worth $4 or $5 million in the market, maybe at this point. And you're paying 10.5, but it doesn't really hurt you when you've got so much cap space, right? Apart from this actual dollars lost, but
yeah, and I mean, it's not our bank account, right?
Not our bank account. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right. Just thinking about the game. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, if you look at just kind of a string of last five games, starting with Seattle, I think their game has fallen off a little bit, but I think to your point you raised earlier, these are tough teams. Like, all the teams that we're playing are pretty tough right now. I mean, looking at Vegas, their goals for, they're scored 47 goals in 10 games. Like, that's 4.7 a game.
Well, and now 39 goals in 7 home games. And so they were playing at T-Mobile Arena, where they had 34 goals in 6 games prior to tonight, and now 5 more. And they've allowed 16 goals in 7 home games. So they've now, through 7 home games, they've outscored the opposition 39-16. So, I mean, this is a tough one tonight for sure.
I know, and that's the point, right? Like, we just got to keep things in perspective and just remember that this is a long season. There's going to be ups and downs, and, you know, when there are 4-0-1, 5-0-1, you sometimes think that, oh, they're just they're not going to lose. Like, they're just playing so well and things are just going really well. And then, of course, when you're in a rut, it feels the other way, right? Like, oh, when are they going to do anything right? But reality is that it does balance out. And it is a younger team, growing pains. And I just think it's going to take some time, and we just got to be a little bit more patient. And I think once the schedule softens up a little bit, I think we'll have an opportunity to kind of see where this team really is. And so I'm not too concerned about these 3 losses. The Winnipeg loss hurt a bit, but in reality, the Vegas game, I kind of felt that this is going to be a tough game, and it is what it is. But I'm looking forward to the next one against Utah. And see what they're made of, right?
So absolutely.
That's kind of what it is at this point. So I guess one question I had is just, I know there was some media coverage around Matt Coronato and his agent retweeting and whatnot. And, like, is there fire where there's smoke or a situation? Or do you feel like this is just media hyping something up or... What do you think?
I think a little bit much ado about nothing. I spoke to the agent a little bit on Monday, and you know, he and Craig Conroy had a chat, cleared the air, everything's fine. So I think it's a non-issue. I think there's a little much ado about nothing about you know, player wanting out, stuff like that. I do think Matt was upset to go down to the American League. I think that is fair to say, but I think that's a positive thing. I definitely don't believe there's any desire for a change. Like, I don't think there's a trade request, nothing like that. I don't believe that's the case at all. But I think Coronato was upset the same way Connor Zary and Jacob Pelche were upset to go to the American League. And now... I think for Coronato, it's in a kind of like, all right, well, go and prove it and work your way back up. Look, on merit, I don't necessarily believe that Coronado should have gone to the American League, but numbers game, waiver eligibility, all that type of stuff played into it. And with Sharon Govich coming back, Coronado was probably going to be pushed back into a fourth line role and a fourth line platoon role, where with Kirkland and Klapka in the conversation, you know, might have also been seeing some healthy scratch time. So, you know, I do think much ado about nothing in a lot of ways. And you know, I do understand there was the retweeting and all that type of stuff. But my understanding on kind of talking to both sides is that no issue, nothing to see here. Agent and Craig Conroy had a conversation. All is good and move on. And hopefully Matt Coronado's back in the NHL here pretty quick.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I think he's got a good future in Calgary. So yeah, looking forward to seeing him back. And I'm really impressed by, you know, one other thing, and I'll hang up and let other callers speak. But I'm really impressed with Connor Zary, especially he's just been outstanding. I feel like he's noticeable every game. He's making plays. He's got really nice hands. There's something special about that kid. So he's a good one, and yeah, just look. I think there was a caller who said, who knows, maybe in a few years from now, 2-3 years from now, he might be the player that we're building a team around. So yeah, really impressed with them. And Pat, just want to say have a good night, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Ram. Be well, buddy. Call back anytime. Hey.
Thank you. I will do.
Thanks, Ram. Good stuff, bud. And let's wrap up on the phone lines tonight by saying hello to Francesco. What's up, Francesco? Let's try to keep it on target and based on the Flames on the ice and stuff like that.
Hey, hello.
You there, bud?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, thanks for taking my call here. Mr. Pat Steinberg, you are impressive, my friend. I don't know what you do all day long, but to have the show go on this long as you do by yourself, that's kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you. Always fun.
Yep, you're welcome. So, and I want to thank the staff and Sportsnet team and whatever for listening to any requests that I had down the road. But to me, you know, Parsons made a funny point about Huberto. First of all, Harry the Hound, I think he meant Harvey the Hound.
Yeah, he said he meant Harvey.
He meant Harvey, right? So, I mean, UP and Gritty are the two top mascots in the league, arguably. So, yeah, Huberto would be about a Harry the Hound type of mascot. But I don't understand what he was doing at 4:44 in the second period. I think it looks like here the Flames were just down 2-0, and they were on the penalty kill, and Huberto blocks a shot with his legs, and then decides to join a 3-on-2, makes it a 3-on-2 rush on the penalty kill, led to an odd man rush. Vladar used the force to make that kick stop. And then, I mean, I just don't know what Huberto was doing on that rush, because he just ended up skating in front of the goaltender, thinking that Uyghur could fandangle a pass through Buddy's feet. And I've seen Uyghur play golf. He's pretty skilled. So, Huberto has been a question of mine for a long, long time. I'm not sure what to do with that guy, but, you know, I think there's a point that, you know, after making the contract that he did, it's just like he dropped off and he might never, ever recover from that.
Well, and I mean, he got off to a really nice start this year. There was a lot of optimism about the way Huberto started the year, had a really good game against Philly. I thought he was dynamite against Edmonton. He and Mantha seemed to have something going on, and then...
Yeah.
Since that game against Edmonton where they won, it was a great start. Since that time, it's really kind of dropped off.
We really need a hero in the Calgary Flames organization to be electrifying like Johnny Hockey was with Monahan. And so tonight in Columbus, Monahan put on a performance, probably because, you know, of Johnny Hockey's spirit with him. So Calgary should be pleased with the fact that, you know, Monahan represented hardcore. It'd be nice if we still had Monahan and players like him and the heart of Giordano and Aginla and such. I just don't see that in Hubert Doe, and I call him Doe like it's a Simpsons episode. It's like I don't know which Homer I'm getting, the funny one or the dumb one, right? But I don't know if that made sense to you, but, you know, I waited online here for a long time, and I just wanted to appreciate you guys, what you do. And I'm taking notes now, and Jose was funny, and I agree with him that we all need to have a better positive attitude. So that being said, we got Backlund, you know, having his 1,000th game coming up here. And then the Flames return to the Saddle Dome November 1st, 24. That would be a perfect time to have the Back in the Saddle song surprise the Flames back in there. November 1st.
I think they've chosen their their entrance song for the year.
Okay. Well, maybe just think about it for just if they return.
I don't make the calls, so you have to, like, if Austin Shaw or Jordy McLeod or Steve Edgar are listening right now. You've made your point clear about Aerosmith, right?
Okay. I guess that's pretty much all I got written down here, except does Kelly Rudy have a Stanley Cup ring?
I don't believe so, because he joined the Islanders right after their run and got to game 6 with the Kings in 93 or game 7 or whatever it was, and then ended up losing to the Canadians that year.
He sounds like he should be a coach on the bench. That's my opinion.
He's a great human being, my friend. One of the very best.
Like, you know, he's such a nice guy, and nothing against Huska, whatever, but, you know, hopefully down the road, Conroy finds Ginla into the organization and gets those boys a ring finally, you know, like maybe within 10 years it'd be nice, but, you know, I'm a born and raised Flames fan, and I just want the best for the organization. I want to cheer again, and I want the fans to have electrifying experiences and myself as well. So, in closing, I play hockey, and, you know, I've been recently practicing the goalie position. So it's unbelievable the difference in the muscles and the stretching and positions you got to be in on the ice. So for Vladar to take on that many shots, he must have been just gassed at the end of the night. And I'm not going to go and suggest this two-goalie system that Coach Darcy's been promoting or whatever, but I've been thinking about it a little bit. And I don't know. He might have something there. We might have to be able to tweak something in what he's thinking about. But
Francesco, do you think that the goalie minds in the NHL, do you think that maybe they might have a little bit of a better feel on these things?
Yes, and so that's why I suggest we actually ask those goalies in a professional environment, like a real question, do you think this would be viable in today's NHL?
And do you know what they would say, every single one of them?
Well, maybe, but, you know, new ideas come along all the time, and usually in the beginning they're shot down, right? So in the pitch, in the baseball game.
Francesco, can we please never talk about this again? Honestly, like, the whole idea of purposely using two goalies in a game.
Yeah.
Because, like, can we please put this idea out to pasture? It's been far too – we've spent way too much time on it already.
Sir, you know what? You've asked me so nicely, and so I'm going to end off with, I think that Hubert Dole, I don't know. We gotta find a situation with that guy that he's happy in. And so maybe we need another type of player or whatever, but he's making mistakes on the ice. Three shots in the second period, the Calgary Flames did. Three shots.
Yep.
And – Vladar played pretty good in that second, so that's a weird performance, yep. Just got to say.
All right, my friend. Have a great night, Francesco. Have yourself a great rest of your week. Thank you, pal. We got to roll.
Pat, one more thing. It was Jack Eichel's birthday today, so they had a little bit of vested interest in winning tonight.
And I guess happy birthday to Jack Eichel. Thank you, Francesco.
Ciao, buddy.
They're also 7-0 on home ice. They've been... birthday or not, they've been pretty good at T-Mobile Arena so far this year. Thank you for the phone calls tonight. Thank you on the text line tonight at 960-960. We'll be back on Wednesday with another edition of your Flames Talk postgame. As we get to tonight's final summary, as this one pretty one-sided. One goal in the first period. It came from the home side. Alex Pietrangelo with the eventual game winner. His first of the year from Alexander Holtz and William Karlsson at 6:39 was 1-0 Vegas after 20 minutes of play. Only the one goal in the second period. Mark Stone got it. His fifth of the year from Jack Eichel at 3:30, and it was 2-0 Vegas after 40 minutes of play. Flames still within reach despite a really poor second period, but then Vegas's fourth line kind of blew the doors off and turned this into a win going away, starting with an early goal from Keegan Kolesar, his third from Cole Schwint and Nicholas Waugh at 2:19. Then Kolesar again at 13:59 makes it 4-0 Golden Knights, second of the night, fourth of the year for Kolesar. Waugh the only assist, and then 15 seconds later, Waugh scores his third of the year to make it 5-0 Kolesar and Schwint the assists at 14-14. That made it 5-0. That would end up being your final score. Final shots, 36-16 in favor of Vegas. Flames finish 0-1 on the power play. Golden Knights 0-2 with the man advantage this evening. Three stars in the building. Number three, a 16-save shutout for Aiden Hill. Nick Waugh with a goal and two assists, your number two star. And with two goals and an assist all in the third period, Keegan Kolesar, your number one star this evening. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson. Was Connor Zeri. With the loss, Flames fall to 5-3-1. They're back in action Wednesday for Michael Backlund's 1,000th NHL game in Utah. Vegas improves to 7-2-1. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Los Angeles. That is your final summary now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight. For our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, available we're on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for Calgary, as I mentioned, into Utah on Wednesday night. Note the start time. That is a 7:30 face-off, which means we're on the air at 6:30 with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Join us then for your next edition of Calgary Flames Hockey on Wednesday night. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from T-Mobile Arena tonight in Las Vegas. Flames fall 5-0 to the Golden Knights. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.